This is Novel Marketing, the show for novelists who aren't necessarily fond of marketing, but still want to become best-selling authors.
Episode 137.
I'm James L. Rupart, but you can call me Jim.
I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
And I'm James Scott Bell.
And in this episode, we're going to talk to you guys about writing short stories, specifically how to write short stories that work, that people like, that readers have to get more of. And on the show today, as you've just discovered, is one of the best authors in the world to talk about this subject, our friend James Scott Bell. Now, I met Jim for the first time back in 2006 at a writing conference in California, and I was so impressed with him that the next year I took this class with, I guess there were seven of us in the class, so a very intimate teaching where Jim was able to teach each one of us and encourage each one of us. So any success I've had in this industry, I guess Jim is somewhat to blame for it, but an amazing teacher. He has won the International Thriller Writers Award. He's a Christie Award winner. He's a number one Amazon best-selling thriller author, but he is also a stellar writer of books on the craft. Plot and Structure is one of those novels, and you guys that have listened for a while, you've heard us talk about this book again and again and again. You have to get this book. You have to get this book. It's definitely one of my, if an aspiring writer comes to me and says, what books do I have to have? It is one of the top three. So he's also an attorney, although he's not practicing anymore. He's a frequent contributor to Writer's Digest magazine, and he currently lives in Los Angeles, California. Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here with you guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Doing well.
You are in very rarefied company. You're one of only two or three people who've ever come on the Novel Marketing Show twice. So for those of you who don't know, Jim Bell came on the show back in 2014. He was one of our first ever guests. And sorry it took us so long to get you back on the show.
Well, it's good to come back now that you've built up a big audience.
We're famous now.
Absolutely.
He believed in us back when we were just young whippersnappers.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jim, we've been telling our listeners, I don't know, Thomas, for the last couple of months that one of the best ways to market themselves, to use as a sales funnel, is short stories. Hey, give me your email address and I'll give you a short story. And we just thought, who better to come on and talk about how to write short stories that people will actually go, wow, I'm glad I got this than you. So I guess to start off, what advice would you give someone that's just starting to dip their toe in the water of writing short stories?
Well, short stories traditionally, you know, say 100 years ago, 50 years ago, was the primary way that new writers would kind of get their feet wet, that they would learn the craft, and they would start to market themselves. There was a huge, from 1920 to about 1955, 60, there was this huge market called the pulp market, which had just scads of detective magazines and adventure magazines and titles, you know, such as Dime Detective and Weird Tales, science fiction, that a voracious reading public would pick these up on newsstands for a dime or 15 cents, and lots of opportunities for writers to get going. And some of the best writers we've ever produced in America started in the pulps or doing short stories. So one of the first things I would advise is, depending on the kind of genre that you're aiming toward, start to read some of the masters of the short story in that form. But don't limit yourself to that, because any great short story writer, any great stylist can teach you something about the craft. But it's great that you can do a lot of reading over a wide variety of authors to kind of get your, you know, understand what the form is like. And that'll help you as you begin your journey into writing short stories.
Okay, so one of the first steps is to read a bunch of different short stories, different genres, that kind of thing?
Well, absolutely. And it would be the same advice I would give to somebody who wants to write full-length fiction. You need to read a lot of full-length fiction, too. You have to absorb what the form is like, sense how it's done. In a moment, I'll talk about what I think is the key to writing a short story. But in the at the beginning, you want to read and you want to think about and you want to understand how you feel about it. and do a little craft study in that regard. So yeah, that would be the obvious first step.
Okay, let's talk about the keys to writing good short stories, because what I've seen a lot is a lot of authors say, I want to write novels. So they start writing novels, and then they say, oh, maybe I should try short stories. And essentially, they take the model of writing a novel and just try to make a short story. They just try to make it a very, very short novel. And it really doesn't work. So talk to us a little bit about that.
That's backwards. A novel has a very definite structure. The way I teach novel writing, and of course it has a lot of space in which to do different things. What short stories can do to help you when you're eventually write a novel is it can help you with style. It can help you establish a voice. It can also teach you about writing scenes and characters. But the short story form really has its own specific feel to it. It's not a multi-layered, multi-plotted, sub-plotted genre. It's what it says. It's short to do basically one thing. And we're talking about really stories between 1,000 and 5 or 6,000 words, 7,500 words, something like that. That's the short story range. When you get above that, you start moving into what are called novelettes, which have a little more space. And then you go into novellas, which have even more, which are like basically little novels. But for the short story, you just have that one space. And so you're trying to do one specific thing. And that's the thing that I teach for short story writing.
Okay. So talk to us a little bit about some of the common mistakes then that you see, other than that, of people who are trying to write short stories for the first time.
Well, it depends. Sometimes people will start a story with an idea. They have a what if, and they begin to explore the idea, and they don't know exactly where they're supposed to be going with it. They're writing more as an exploration. And if they get to a point where they feel like the story is over and they just stop, there's a feeling like something's missing. So what I teach on short stories is if you can find the one definite point that you're writing toward, and I'll name that in a moment, then you are free to place that structural element anywhere in the story. So what I say about short stories is the great short stories, the ones that work, are about one shattering moment. And what I mean by that is the story revolves around something that happens that changes. Either a character is transformed by it on the inside, or it flips over their whole perspective on life. It is something that shatters their complacency or their what they see as the operating principle of their life. It's that moment that the great short stories explore. And what's nice about knowing that is as you read short stories, you'll see that shattering moment. And then the creative part of the short story is that you can put that thing at any one of five points. You can put it at the beginning, in the middle, at the end, or it can be something that happens before the story begins, or it can be an implied an ambiguous ending, an open-ended ending where you wonder, how are these characters now going to handle this thing that has happened? And that's really the structural secret, I think, of the great short stories.
Can you give us an example of that being done in a story that we might be familiar with or even not familiar with?
Well, all right, I'll start with one of the most famous short stories we have, and that is Hills Like White Elephants by Ernest Hemingway. It's a story that is taught a lot in college writing classrooms and English classes. And it's a story about a man and a woman who are sitting at a train station waiting for the train to arrive, having a drink, and there is this sort of implied tension between them that comes only through the dialogue. And as the story progresses, we learn that this conversation that they're having is the aftermath of the shattering moment that happened before the story began. And what that shattering moment was this man has impregnated this woman and has told her he wants her to have an abortion. Now, the brilliance and the genius of that story is that, that the word abortion is never used. It is only seen from the surface level of the conversation with that subtext underneath. So that's an example of a story where the shattering moment happens before the story begins. Now, a story, a famous short story that has the open-ended kind of feeling is Girls in Their Summer Dresses by Irwin Shaw, which is a famous story that's often always taught. And it is about a man and a wife. It starts out seemingly very innocent that they're walking down the street in New York, and the man notices women in their summer dresses, girls in their summer dresses, young women, basically. This is an older couple, middle-aged couple, and they go to a restaurant, and they begin to eat and so on. And at the end of the story, the conversation they've had has gotten incredibly more intense as the wife really confronts her husband. You know, he thinks it's all just fun and games to notice these women, but it's really hurting her on a deep level. And it ends with him kind of noticing the waitress, I think it is, but you don't know how. You get the impression, though, that the wife has been shattered, and so it's left to the reader to kind of fill in those blanks. So, and then in between, you have stories that where the shattering moment happens at the beginning, and the rest of the story is about the aftermath, or it can happen in the middle, and the rest of the story is about the aftermath. And then finally, the shattering moment, if it happens near the end, that's usually where I would place the genre crime story that has that twist ending, the ending you didn't see coming. Very satisfying form of writing if you can do it. And when that happens, you have that twist that also is it's the shattering moment for whoever the lead character is, a detective or whomever. But it's also a great shattering moment for the reader because now they're going, oh, wow, I was totally fooled by this. So that's kind of an overview of the short story.
And when you say, when you're talking about shattering moment, Jim, it could also be a shattering moment in a beautiful way, right? Like, for example, the Gift of the Magi, the O. Henry story. I mean, that's shattering where we feel so wonderful.
Yes. That's a very, very good point. That has that shattering moment at the end where we find that wonderful twist where they've both given up the thing most valuable for the other. And in a way, it's got that sadness to it, but then it's overcome by that, you know, wonderful sense that, yes, the shattering aspect of that is, you know, it shatters preconceptions. Maybe they, you know, they took each other for granted, or maybe they didn't know how much they loved each other. And all of a sudden, that perspective's taken away, and you have a much clearer one, yes.
Another good example of this are Pixar short films, the ones that go before the Pixar movie. They're like the film version of a short story, and they're often super simple, often one or two or three characters. You know, it's about a volcano, and his shattering moment is he's singing for his lady volcano, I want to love you, and then he sinks into the sea and his lava goes out, and you're like, you've only been invested in this for maybe a minute or two, and you're like crying because this, like, oh, this poor volcano, I have all the feels.
Boy, they sure are plugged in. Well, I always think of that great prologue to the movie Up. Do you recall that? where it starts with the lead character who will be old in the film, but he's young and he meets that girl.
I cried. Kind of, I'm not ashamed
to
admit
it. I admit it. I did too.
Hey, look, man, I'm with you. I mean, it was, what was incredible was it was just, it was done without dialogue and just with images. And that's another thing that you're creating with a short story is you're trying. And one of the things that short story writing will teach you that will benefit you as a novel writer is selecting the details that bring a scene to life. And one of the masters of that was actually a man I got to study with in college, Raymond Carver, who was considered one of the great short story writers of the 20th century. And that's what I really picked up from him was his ability to select a detail that if you were discussing it out of context would seem innocuous or irrelevant even. But within the context of the story, it's what brings that scene this incredible illumination. And so when you can do that, when you can learn how to bring the details, the sensory details to a scene in a short story, that will benefit you greatly as a novelist.
We have more questions for you on short stories, but quick, we have a featured patron, Jim.
Yeah, so our featured patron that massive thanks goes out to this episode is Jennifer Lamont Leo. And I actually got to know Jennifer. She goes by Jenny in person, kind of like Jim and I go by Jim, and just what a wonderful person. She was at the Rubart Writing Academy in April, and I had a chance to get to know Jenny a little bit. Tremendous writer. She loves all things vintage. She just absolutely loves the 1920s and 1930s, and specifically Chicago. So her book that's featured is called You're the Cream in My Coffee, and it is centered in Chicago, and here's just a brief description of the story. In 1928, Chicago small-town girl Marjorie Corrigan visits the city for the first time and has her life turned upside down when she spots her high school sweetheart, presumed to be killed in the Great War. She sees him alive and well in a train station, so suddenly everything is up for grabs. Now, this stranger says, I am not this sweetheart. I'm not who you think I am. But Marjorie becomes obsessed with finding out the truth. And to the dismay of her fiance and family, she moves to the city, Chicago, full-time, and takes a job at a department store so she can get to the bottom of the deepest mystery of her life. Again, the name of the book is You're the Cream in My Coffee by Jennifer Lamont Leo. And we'll have links in the show notes so you can go and snag a copy for yourself.
And if you want to have your book featured on the show or to help us out and get all of the other cool benefits that we offer, including a bonus Q&A episode, a bonus bundle episode every month, you can learn more at novelmarketing.com.
So, Jim, if somebody says, yes, I want to become a student of writing great short stories, are there, you can't read every short story out there. Are there like two or three authors where you'd go, hey, read this collection of their short stories or go to this author to read them?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, it depends on the sort of genre you're looking for, because you can find masters in several genres, but I guess I would start with the Hemingway short stories. I mean, I think he was really maybe the greatest short story writer we've ever had because of his ability to select detail and to render a scene not by overlarding us with emotional adjectives and so on, but making that scene come to life in a way that impacts us emotionally directly. That was really what his design was. He wanted to strip away things that were manipulative, and he wanted to just try to render life on the page. One true sentence, he used to say. So Hemingway can teach you a lot. Now, when it comes to, say, genre short stories, like we were talking about the twist ending story, Jeffrey Deaver is a wonderful writer of those sorts of stories. And he's written two collections, one called Twisted, one called More Twisted. And they are nothing but short stories with twists. And that's a great opportunity if you're writing in genre fiction, mystery fiction, to learn that style and, you know, try to guess what the ending is going to be. And it's kind of fun to be outguessed by or to be fooled by the writer. And when it comes to crime short stories, Lawrence Block is a grandmaster of Mystery Writers Association and has a collection called Enough Rope, which has a number of his crime stories, and they're very, very good. So those would be three I would mention right out of the box.
Along that same line, so we're encouraging people to read these authors. Are there any books on short story writing, or do you have any resources on short story writing specifically that people could download and start studying this part of the craft?
This is what you call a softball question, so you better knock this out of the park.
Let the bases are loaded. Think. Let me think. Well, there is a book called How to Write Short Stories and Use Them to Further Your Writing Career. And yes, I wrote that book, and I wrote it for two reasons. Number one, honestly, I've read a number of books on short story writing, and I never was able to figure out from those books, because I don't think really the idea of the one shattering moment has been taught anywhere, and I kind of discovered that on my own. So I wanted to write a book about that, and then I also wanted to write a book for the current state of publishing and encourage writers now to be able to publish their short fiction online in a way that hasn't been possible for many years. The short story form really dried up when the pulp magazines began to fold. The slick magazines, you know, the Saturday Evening Post and magazines like that were very selective and limited to more of the top tier writers. There are a few genre magazines like Alfred Hitchcock and Ellery Queen and Analog and so forth that still exist. And those are possibilities for writers who want to break into those markets. But now writers can publish themselves and be strategic about it and use those short stories not only to start building a following, but they can use it to test market material. They can use it to see if this is a story that I want to continue as a serial, in a serial form. Maybe extend these stories into an eventual collection, and so on. So there's really quite a lot of flexibility now that's available at really not very expensive cost.
And we, for those of you who are not taking the five-year plan, and I know a lot of you are going through our five-year plan to become a best-selling author, we recommend more James Scott Bell books in that plan than any other author. And we'll have a link to this book, How to Write Short Stories and Use Them to Further Your Writing Career, in the show notes. So if you just scroll down on your app, you can just click it and it'll take you straight to Amazon, and it is available in ebook and paper, but not audio. Come on, Bell, what's the deal here? Got to embrace us audio people.
I do. You know, Rubart's been after me on that for a long time, and I've just, it's just a matter of time, isn't it? So I'm going to, but that's definitely on my list.
If you want to reach the young people like me, you got to be on audio. There's just no two buts about it. But anyway, where can people find out more about you and the other books that you're writing, and including your fiction and your short stories?
Well, please go to my website, jamesscottbell.com. I have an email update that you can subscribe to. I send out very short and hopefully entertaining emails to let you know about deals and new titles. And that's probably the best place to go. And at Twitter, at James Scott Bell.
All right. Very good. Real quick, we have a sponsor, and the sponsor is actually a new podcast that I am launching. Many of you, when we launched the Patreon...
Not launching. Folks, it is launched.
It is launched. You can listen. We have, finish this, if you want more of my voice in your head, this is specifically inspired by some questions that many of you asked. So when we launched the Patreon campaign for novel marketing, a lot of people were like, this is really interesting, this Patreon thing. Can I use it for my fiction? Can I use it for my writing? And what I wanted was a podcast about Patreon and Kickstarter and the other crowdfunding crowdfunding platforms to help answer that question? And spoiler alert, the answer is yes, you absolutely can. In fact, there are authors right now who are making thousands of dollars, some $10,000 a month or more, on Patreon, supporting their fiction. And this is in addition to their book sales. And if you're not looking into this, you may be leaving a lot of money on the table. So what this show does is I will be interviewing people who are using Patreon, not just authors, but also podcasters and YouTubers and other artists, because there's a lot we can learn from people who aren't just authors. So don't be offended that I talk with people who aren't authors. This is a broader podcast than that. And there are a lot of innovations in the YouTubing space. YouTubers are making probably 10 times more money than authors are on Patreon right now. And it's partly because they got a head start. So we're going to be learning from the things they learned the hard way in this podcast. And I really do encourage you to check it out. It's called The Creative Funding Show. We will have a link to it in the show notes. You can scroll down and just tap it, but it's creativefunding.show. And I really hope that you like the podcast. I also hope you leave it a review. So, also feel free to review this podcast while you're at it. While you're in an iTunes review leaving state, go ahead and review both shows. We really would appreciate it. And I do hope you like the new show.
And as always, you've been listening to James L. Rubart, but not as always, you've also been listening to James Scott Bell and Thomas Umstead Jr. on the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing offline, online, and everywhere in between. Thanks for listening.